Good afternoon, Hawks fans, and welcome to Hawk Sports Radio. I'm Andy Martinez. I'm joined here by Andrew McCulloch. Andrew, how's it going?
It's a all right day. Going to start the old new J-O-B today. It's a little rainy outside. Got a big high school game, QND and QHS. Going to be a big crowd there. QU's got some big games coming up this weekend. A big non-conference one for football against Ohio Dominican and a couple of big soccer games for both women's and men's. We're going to go ahead and kick things off with the football team. They're back at home facing Ohio Dominican, and they came in with a preseason ranking of number 4 in the nation. They're 4-3, though, for the season. Been kind of an up-and-down season for them. They just lost a number 3 or 4 ranked Ferris State last week, 38-17, so they're coming off of a pretty bad loss. I would have to say that they'll probably be motivated to come into QU and get a win.
Yeah, this is you look at their record, 4-3 Ohio Dominican. This is a team that their record is deceptive, in the sense that their 3 losses came to ranked teams. The first loss of the season came to Grand Valley State, who was ranked 20th in the nation. They lost 27-24. Then they lost at Ashland, who's ranked 19th in the nation, 27-24. And then last week you mentioned it, they lost the number 3 team in the nation in Ferris State, 38-17. So, you know, they have 3 losses, but they're against high caliber opponents, and you know, 2 of those losses, you know, probably could have gone either way for the Panthers. This is going to be a really good matchup for QU. This is a matchup that, you know, maybe a lot of people would have rather have seen a team like Haskell that they played last year to get the easy win, but I think Coach Padgett and the guys love this matchup because they get to measure themselves with, you know, a top program, and you know, they can say, you know, we just need this much more, or we just need to do this better, and we'll be at that level of being where Ohio Dominican's at.
Yeah, you can't have any more games against teams like Haskell where you're just going to blow them out of the water. If you want to be taken seriously as a program, you have to play these teams like Ohio Dominican. And you said there are 3 losses coming against ranked teams. You look at their 4 wins, and you know, some of them are just absolute blowouts. You got Malone their first game, 59-21. Lake Erie, 48-26. I mean, this is a team that's got a lot of firepower on offense. You know, they score quickly. They usually average about 3 to 4 minutes on their drives. So they're a team that likes to get up the field and score and put points on the board before you can even blink. So, you know, it's going to be a real, real challenge for QU's defense this week. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how things play out.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how the QU defense matches up against the Ohio Dominican offense, because you know, you mentioned it, the Ohio Dominican offense right now is clicking on seemingly every single level possible, and the QU defense, you know, this was an aspect of the game that we mentioned in the preseason, and we mentioned the first couple weeks of the season. This is the big question mark on the QU on the QU football team. And now we've seen them kind of come into their own, and you know, they're kind of the stabilizing force of this team. You know, they've been consistent the last few weeks, and you know, it'll be interesting to see how they match up. You know, they're coming in on a kind of a hot streak, and Ohio Dominican obviously is a high-powered offense, so I'm interested to see how those two match up.
Yeah, when you look at Ohio Dominican's offense, it's an offense that we kind of hoped QU would have. They've got a balanced attack. Their sophomore Daryl Johnson on the ground's got 425 yards and 5 touchdowns. Grant Russell, their quarterback, is having a pretty good year, 11 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. You know, they'd obviously like to see his turnovers, you know, come down a little bit this week. But, you know, when I just look at QU, this is exactly like the team that they would want to be on offense, Ohio Dominican is. You know, having Lonergan, Harris, if healthy, and then obviously Poindexter. I mean, they have just as many weapons as Ohio Dominican does. If QEU clicks on all cylinders, they could be a team like Ohio Dominican on offense. And then now that the defense is starting to show up and play better, you know, that would bring obviously a more complete package to the table. But, you know, obviously I think Ohio Dominican's loss last week is deceptive. I think they're going to come out and play very, you know, very well against QU, even on the road. So I look for it to be a challenging game for the Hawks.
One thing about Ohio Dominican that we've been looking at here in the pre-show preparation, we saw Ohio Dominican, they've outscored their opponent 68-43 in the first quarter. So this is a team that likes to start fast. That'll be big for QU to be able to, you know, limit them, because in the second quarter, Ohio Dominican's been outscored 58-48. And so, you know, if you can hold them from that fast start that they want to have, Ohio Dominican wants to have, if you can do that, then you might give yourselves a chance to better come out with a win in this game.
Yeah, and with QU, the thing about them on at home has been that they've been able to get out to fast starts. KU has, you know, against William Jewell, they held that 21-7 lead at halftime, and then they just, you know, kind of they just turned things off in the second half. And yeah, you just said it. You look at Ohio Dominican, the way you get them is in the second quarter. They do come out strong in the third quarter, and that's something that KU hasn't done this season. You see Ohio Dominican outscoring their opponents 48-34. In the third quarter, and KU for the most part has been outscored because they've come out flat in the second half. So that's going to be a key for me coming into Saturday's game.
I think the one X factor that's going to play a huge factor for KU especially is going to be the health of running back Chris Harris. If he can go, that makes a huge difference. You know, even if he can only get 5 to 10 snaps a game, because he's the kind of back where teams center their game plan around him. And if the Ohio Dominican coaches are coming in and thinking, man, we got to go up against Chris Harris, then they're going to have one game plan, and it's going to completely throw him off. If you only do him for 5 or 10 snaps, and then you throw in Darius Burse or Dante Flowers that change of speed back, it's going to give them, you know, a little funky look, so to say.
Well, yeah, and it's not only that, but if you have Chris Harris in your lineup, it's gonna make you pay less attention to Poindexter outside. So with Chris Harris being out, that will allow teams to focus their attention on Poindexter. I mean, no disrespect to the, you know, running back committee of running backs that we've got, but, you know, Poindexter is that next star up if Harris is not able to play. I know the guys, Darius Burse, Dante Flowers, those guys can all get the job done, but, you know, Chris Harris is someone, even if you can have him for just 5 to 10 snaps, he's valuable, not just for, you know, his skill set, but just, you know, team morale, having him out on the field there. You know, he just lift everybody up.
One aspect that, you know, we kind of touched about, the first quarter is going to be big. I think the second half is going to be huge for KU. In the second half this season, KU's been outscored 88-40. They've been, you know, blown out of the water in that second half for the most part this season. And Ohio Dominican, conversely, has been a great second half team. They've scored 109 points in the second half and only allowed 77 points. So, you know, if that's anything to look at, or if that's anything to go by, KU is going to have to really shore it up in the second half.
Yeah, just like I was saying, KU, they've just come out flat in the second half, you know, both on the road and at home. Obviously, most notably against William Jewell, they were flat in the second half, and, you know, they got blanked 17-0. Against Indy, they played a little better in the second half. You know, obviously, they came up short 26-20, but it was a much better showing in the second half than, you know, against William Jewell. So, something I'm looking for is for KU to come out, whether they have the kickoff in the second half or not, be strong on defense or offense. And, you know, that's something that KU is going to have to do. And as, you know, like you just showed me now, points off turnovers is going to be huge too. KU, you know, they can't turn the ball over against Ohio Dominican. They've got 129 points off turnovers. And, you know, Lonergan's been pretty good. He's one of those guys that doesn't make a lot of mistakes. But if he does make mistakes, Ohio Dominican's going to capitalize off those.
Yeah, I think you give Ohio Dominican one turnover, that's 5 too many for KU, because Ohio Dominican's just going to make them pay if you do that. And another thing is, you got to make sure defensively, you got to be able to put Ohio Dominican in those third and long situations, because you put them in third and five, third and four, Ohio Dominican's almost a lock to convert, because they're converting at a 46% rate. It's 26th in the nation. Third downs is probably the most important down in football. And if KU can't stop them on third down, then it's going to be a long day for KU.
Absolutely. It's, you know, there's so many things that KU is just going to have to do so well. And it's going to be so hard, I think. I'm not sure if KU is going to be able to come out and win this football game. I don't think it's going to be a blowout, but you know, it's going to be tough, because Ohio Dominican, like you said, is clicking on all cylinders. Their offense is so good, and it's not like their defense is that bad either, only allowing 25 points a game. And the way KU's been on offense the last couple of weeks, at least the last six quarters, it's been a little shaky. I know health has something to do with that, but execution hasn't really been as good either. And, you know, obviously your coach Tom Padgett, yeah, your team's injured, but, you know, the mentality of a football coach is, well, the next man up's got, he's got to come up, and he's got to stand up, and he's got to take charge, and he's got to, you know, do the job. So whoever it will be, you know, beside Lonergan or behind Lonergan at running back, they're going to just have to get the job done. The offensive line's going to have to protect Lonergan. You know, if Ohio Dominican is able to get to him, maybe even strip him, force a turnover, or even force an interception because they put pressure on him. You know, it's just going to make a very, very long day for the Hawks.
Yeah, one thing that you know that I saw in their stat in Ohio Dominican stats that I think might be a good look at for KU is that Ohio Dominican's allowed 1,200, almost 1,300 yards on the ground this season, averages out to 183 yards per game. We know there's no secret KU wants to establish a run and they want to do that consistently, and you know, a team that kind of struggles to stop the run, that might be big for KU to be able to say, hey, you know, we might be able to run these guys, and that might open up a little bit more on the offense. It might open up Poindexter, might open up the play action pass in general. So, you know, this, if you're looking for one weak spot, I guess, so to say, for Ohio Dominican, that might be it. And you might just have to exploit that and hope that, you know, if you do that, you might give yourself a chance.
Yeah, I mean, this is the one way to exploit Ohio Dominican's defense is establishing the running game. You know, it's really important to go out there and establish that first drive for KU. You have to establish it first drive, you know, or else Ohio Dominican's defense is just going to gather more and more confidence. And, you know, while their running defense isn't, very good, their passing defense isn't that great either. They're allowing almost just as many passing yards as they're getting. So it's not that, like, their defense is really, really good, but I just look at it from a standpoint that QU's offense isn't the healthiest at this point right now. If they were more healthy, I think it would, you know, this would be a high scoring game, in my opinion. I think both teams would be scoring off the charts because they both have talent. Yep. They both have balanced offenses. They both have key playmakers that can get you big plays. You know, Ohio Dominican's had a lot of big plays, you know, 43 plays over 20 yards on the season. So this is a team that, kind of like QU, because we've seen a lot of big plays out of Lonergan and Poindexter going with one another there. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. Who's going to make more big plays? Who's going to be able to make more stops on the defensive side of the ball? Can QU establish the running game? Those are, you know, for me, those are keys to who's going to come out on top.
I think another key will be special teams. The last few weeks and for the whole season, establishing field position has been just difficult for QU for whatever reason. You know, kickoffs have been struggling, punts have been there, but for the most part, teams have gotten good field position against QU, and so it'll be interesting. You know, if the first kickoff return of the game for Ohio Dominican, or the first drive for Ohio Dominican, whoever gets the ball first. If Ohio Dominican starts off at their own 45 or at midfield, how does KU react to that against a high-powered offense, and how do they deal with that? Because one thing that KU has kind of shown all season, and that's just been the factor, and I guess this is just who KU is at this point, they can't really give teams bad field position. They give them favorable field position or really good field position. If you give Ohio Dominican too much good field position, I don't think it matters what you do offensively or what you do defensively, because I think Ohio Dominicans are just going to score on you if that's the case.
Yeah, you're right. They're going to be licking their chops if they get good field position. If QU special teams isn't up to par, you know, they're 28 for 30 in red zone scores, which is number one in their conference. Not only that, but fifth in the nation.
Yeah.
So you give this team good field position,
they just have to march
it
down 30 yards, and it's a guaranteed. It's almost a guaranteed score, whether it's a touchdown or a field goal. And
93% of the time.
93% of the time, you know, I like my odds there if I'm a betting man. And for KU, I think that just the importance for them is limit the amount of good field position you can give them, and then get those stops on first and second down, so that Ohio Dominican is forced with a 3rd and 8 or a 3rd and 9 or a 3rd and 10. And they're not trying to, you know, convert a 3rd and 3 or 3rd and 2, which is for them is money, basically. Just like them in the red zone, that's money for them. And if you can do that, you know, I'm not saying you're going to win for sure, but you give yourself a better chance. Regardless, I think if KU plays a perfect game, it's still not going to be an easy one, because Ohio Dominican is just so skilled, seemingly at every position and seemingly every spot on the field.
Yeah, and I think even if you're KU, if you have an opportunity for a field goal that's, you know, anywhere from, you know, 30 to 35 yards, I would not be opposed to them punting and just pushing them all the way back to inside their 10-yard line. Because I think field position is that important with Ohio Dominican. Yeah, they've got a high-powered offense, and they could probably charge 90 yards down, you know, the field. But I would like my odds better than to, you know, go for that risk of a field goal because
miss it, and then
because QU's kicking game hasn't really been solid this year. So, you know, I think that's something that you got to look forward to as well for field position wise, you know, pinning them inside their 10 or inside their 5, you know, and going out and letting your defense get in a stop and then getting good field position back. Yep. So I think that's another key with that against Ohio Dominican. But, you know, it's going to be a really challenging game. You want to go ahead and give me a prediction for how you think this one's going to play out?
I'm going to go 42-28 Ohio Dominican. I think it'll be close. And in the second half, I think Ohio Dominican is just going to have too much and they're going to pull away.
All right, I'm going to go 38-24.
38-24, yeah. It's going to be a high-scoring game, unless they surprise us like St. Joe's and play both teams play amazingly strong defense. I think it should be a very high-scoring.
We have been proven wrong a lot this year.
Yeah,
so.
You know, don't take our words with a grain of salt.
Absolutely.
Big weekend for KU men's soccer. Regional rankings come out. They were 6th. The last team, if the NCAA tournament started today, it'd be the last team in. Right now, the team's kind of reeling right now, but I think you look at their upcoming schedule: McKendree, UIS, and then Truman State. You know, you never want to say you have winnable games in the GOEC or you have guaranteed wins in the GOEC, but these are 3 winnable games that you know. If you can basically control your own destiny, and if you, I think if, even if you go 2-1-0, you know, 2 wins and a tie, you still put yourself in position, as long as you do well in the GOC tournament, to I think still get in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, and we talked about Truman State a couple of weeks ago and how they were one of the hottest teams in the GLVC, but they have rapidly cooled off. They've really just kind of lost it. 4 losses in a row for them, and just a 5-7 conference record overall. So I mean, and then you look at McKendree and you know Illinois Springfield. These are 3 teams towards the bottom of the GLVC rankings. 2 of these games at home. And then obviously the last one in Truman State. So you look at this. Yeah, I know KU's, you know, they're kind of reeling, the men's soccer team is, but they still have a lot of talent, and they understand what they have to do. They understand, well, you know, we're 6th in the regional rankings. That's the last spot. So, you know, we mess up, you know, we probably won't be able to make it in. So no more losses, like you said. You say, you know, 2 wins and a tie. I say just sweep. Just get the 3.
That's easier. That's easier.
I know that's easier said than done, but you know, this team has the talent to do it, and they're playing teams that are really struggling right now. And 2 of those games at home. First one, obviously tonight, you know, conditions are going to be wet. It's going to be cold. And obviously, I don't like that, because I think those kind of games, you know, it could go either way for me. Those kind of games go either way.
Yeah, it's going to be, the field conditions are going to throw everything kind of, you know, for a loop, I guess is the right word. And it'll be a little tricky game, but you know, KU, if they come out and they play their game and they can get an early goal, they can get an early lead. I think they put themselves in position to, you know, kind of ease off. This is a team that they know how to kill off games. If they take a lead, they can kill off a game. That hasn't been the problem for them. The problem is for them has been falling behind and giving up too many goals. But you know, they get a 1-0 lead, they can kill off a game for 80 minutes or whatever need be. And so that'll be important for them. Looking at the rest of the GOVC, the regional rankings, Rockers is number 1. Obviously they're 10-1-2, so they deservedly have the top spot. Saginaw Valley 12-1, Northwood from Michigan 11-1, Cedarville 11-3-1, Bellarmine 10-5, and then Quincy 8-5-1. And then 2 teams close to identical records, or 1 team with the identical record and 1 team behind them with a close record. Alderson Brodus. Okay, that I guess that's the proper one. 8-5-1 with a record, and then UIndy with a 8-4-2 record. So, you know, 1 slip up, one way or the other, and you know, you play yourself in or you play yourself out of the NCAA tournament with about 3 regular season games to go.
Yeah, and with these 3 games, obviously KU on a losing streak right now. Do we both kind of agree that's more off the field issues, or do you think they've also just not, they have not been playing their game?
I think it's a little combination of both. I think 3 weeks ago, after we saw them play, even though it was a draw, even though they tied against Rockers, we saw them tie Rockers, and we said, you know, this is a team that is starting to pick up steam, and I think this is a team you don't want to face by the end of the season. Now I think teams are looking and saying, well, I think we got a chance against Quincy. But at the same time, you know, everything that happened with All-American Giovanni Dokai getting kicked off the team last week, that kind of happened right basically the day of or the day before they left for their weekend trip. So that's in the back of your mind the whole trip, and then the whole two games. Now you've kind of had a week for everything to kind of just settle down, digest, and sit. I think the mindset has gone from, we just lost our All-American forward day before game, and you know, now we got to go play these two tough teams, to, okay, you know, we've got a week to figure ourselves out. We know what we got to fix. We know what we got to do better. Let's go out and take two wins and play ourselves in position to get into the NCAA tournament.
Well, not only that, but this team knows where they stand now. They know that, you know, we have to get the job done. We're still in it. We're still right there in the mix, not only in the GLVC, but also in, you know, NCAA matters. So, you know, getting the job done is important. And then, obviously, a good showing in the GLVC tournament is big as well. You know, just for momentum, you know, if they do end up making the NCAA tournament, you know, get some positivity in. Yep. Yeah. You know, yeah, I think things have settled down now. I think you can expect them to come out and play strong. And even losing Dekai, you know, I think more of our problems are on the defensive side,
yeah,
than offensive. I think we've got a lot of talent, you know, scoring wise. But, you know, like you've said, the inability to get out on top, you know, right away has hurt QU. Playing from behind is something that obviously never really goes well for you in soccer. So, you know, you can't be giving up four goals like you did against Bellarmine. You know, obviously not scoring against Southern Indiana hurt in that 2-0 loss. So, you know, I look for this team to go out tonight against McKendree. You know, it's going to be wet. It's going to be cold. Maybe grab a 1-0, 2-0 victory. You know, put a shutout there. Get that confidence in for Sunday's game.
Yeah, I think this first one is a big one, because, you know, this is the first chance, you know, after everything that's happened, to kind of say, all right, let's stamp our foot down, let's correct things, let's right the ship. Because if you don't do it then, now you're losing, you've lost four or five, and now you're kind of, you know, like, okay, now you start panicking. You're like, okay, now we got to win these next two, we have to, and you start panicking. If you just go out there and take this game one game at a time, and you go out and you get a win against McKendree, you play yourself in position to, you know, kind of ease off a little bit. And the pressure goes down dramatically, I think, for the men. And they put themselves in a good spot to be able to host the GLVC first-round game, which is huge. And then, you know, I think that unless something miraculous happens with a team like UND that makes a deep run, I think that'll get you into the GLVC or into the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't really necessarily anticipate Indy going on that big run.
Yeah.
They're a team kind of just like QU. You know, I don't know. I don't know if you think that they can or not.
They're up and down. They've been up and down. You know, they'll go on a win streak. They'll go on a losing streak. They'll, you know, you don't really know Indy that well. And I don't think that many teams do. And so I think the benefit for QU is that you don't have Drury or Missouri S&T even in the top eight rankings. I would assume that they're close to the next two, maybe 9 and 10 in the rankings. But that's a good thing for QU, because then you don't have to worry about teams who actually, I mean, Missouri S&T has more wins than you. So it's kind of like, okay, well, that's kind of a disrespect, I guess, to Missouri S&T. But QU knows what they got to do. And, you know, you win these two games, I think you play yourself in position to host the first-round GOVC game. If you host, you win that. You hope Indy loses, because then you're all but guaranteed a spot in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. The thing that Indy does have going for them, though, is that they're the 3 seed right now in the GLVC. Yeah. They're a 7-3 and 2 record, which is very good. They've played, you know, the GLVC pretty well. So I wouldn't put it out of the question that they could make a run. But hopefully, you know, just positively speaking,
yeah,
that they don't. And, you know, QU is able to win a couple of games and lock themselves into an NCAA tournament bid.
Predictions for this weekend for the men?
2-0.
2-0.
I think you got to go 2-0.
I think they go 2-0 as well. I think they win 3-1 tonight, and then I think they win 2-0 against UIS. I think this is going to be a good weekend for QU. I feel
See,
like.
I'm opposite you. I think tonight's going to be more of a 2-0 game, and then Sunday, I think it'll be more of a 3-1 kind of contest.
Regional rankings also came out for the women, and they're sitting pretty. Kind of a disrespect to them, I guess, is that they're ranked third in the regional rankings. They would still get in if the NCAA tournament started today. But they're ranked behind Grand Valley State and Bellarmine, who each have one loss, and it was to Quincy.
Yeah.
So, I know strength of schedule and your record and all these things play a factor too, but, you know, it's almost a little disrespect to the women that they're seated behind two teams that they've already beaten.
you can look at it as disrespectful, or you can look at it as, hey, these are two teams that we beat this year, so just because they're ranked above us doesn't mean we don't have a solid chance if we were to meet up against either team in that regional. So, you know, if you're the women, you got to be confident right now because you're playing really well, three-game winning streak, three big wins in a row. And apparently you and I have something to do with that. Yeah. I don't know. But, you know, again, this weekend's going to be big. You know, Illinois Springfield just 4-6-2 on the season. And McKendree, you know, 6-4-2. So these are two teams kind of a little opposite. McKendree, you look at tonight as a better team. And I think I would rather play that better team tonight than Sunday, because if you were playing, you know, Illinois Springfield tonight, maybe you'd be overlooking them for Sunday's matchup against McKendree. So I think having that matchup against McKendree right now is going to have them focused. You know, right now they're rolling. They're confident. Coach Musso is confident. I talked to him this week for QUTV. He likes where everything's going right now. You know, they're taking things one game at a time. Their goal is obviously winning the GLVC tournament and making the NCAA tournament, and I think right now they're on a very good path to do so.
I think for QU, I don't think they'll end up hosting the GLVC tournament. They're gonna need Bellarmine to lose two games this weekend.
Yeah.
Or they're gonna need Bellarmine ideally to lose all three games left in the season. I think QU's gonna have to win all three, but I think QU can really jump ahead into that third spot, maybe even that second spot. Because right now they sit a game back at Truman State for that third spot in the GOVC. QU 7-2-3 in a conference. Truman State's 8-1-3. But if you go out and beat Truman State, if you match them, if you win these two games and then you beat Truman State,
yeah, last game of the regular season, it's going to be big. You know, it could come down to that game for the two seed.
Yeah, you jump right up above them, and then Missouri St. Louis is sitting second in the conference, but they play Bellarmine tonight. You know. I don't know if there's one you'd rather lose or if you'd like to see them both tie. I would think you'd want to see, you know, ideally Missouri St. Louis beat Bellarmine and then lose to Southern Indiana, and QU has a chance to host the GLVC tournament as a whole. But for Quincy, I think right now the main goal is leapfrog Truman State, and maybe you get lucky and leapfrog UMSL and get that two spot and put yourself in a position to host that first round GLVC game.
Yeah, I think that's big. And you know, we talked about how you thought maybe Quincy was a little disrespected. Well, you know, UMSL could possibly say the same thing. Both of these two teams tied one another. Did Quincy and UMSL won 1-2 overtimes.
Yeah.
And UMSL's got a better GLVC record than Quincy and a better overall record. So, you know, they could be feeling the disrespect a little bit too. That could allow them to feel more motivation. So that getting that number two spot could be even tougher than we even realize, because that team is going to come out and try and improve something to the NCAA committee. Just like Quincy is, I'm sure, obviously, you know, a lot of people, well, I don't know. I mean, we both kind of discussed having the three ties wasn't a great thing, but obviously these last three games, they've proven that, you know, they belong as much as anybody, especially after beating Bellarmine. They've beaten the top two teams in the Midwest region. So, you know, obviously they're a heck of a team. And I think going into this weekend, just like the men, I think you got to go 2-0.
Yeah, I think if they go 3-0 and results fall in their favor and Bellarmine loses one this weekend and UMSL loses one this weekend, and you host the GOVC, and I think as long as you get to the final of the GOVC, regardless if you're hosting or not, is if Bellarmine gets one loss between now and the end of the season, I think Quincy leapfrogs Bellarmine for that two spot. Looks of it, I don't think Grand Valley State's going to lose up that one spot in the region, so I think they're going to end up hosting the region as a whole. But I think QU puts themselves in position to at least be that two seed and not have to play Grand Valley State until the last possible, the regional championship, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You never want to avoid the team, but ideally, you know, you want to get yourselves the best position to, you know, have the simplest path to get to Grand Valley State for multiple reasons, obviously.
Yeah, you'd like that. But at this point, you know, all you can really focus on is your team going out and winning each game that you have in front of you. You know, you can't sit here and depend on Bellarmine and UMSL losing games. You just got to go out and win. And if they lose, then they lose. That's, you know, great. But, you know, this team is focused right now at the task at hand. Even it doesn't matter who you put up against them. They understand, you know, just we gotta win. And one thing that, you know, Coach Musso was talking about, you know, he said, you know, once we get to the GLVC tournament or the NCAA tournament, you know, it doesn't matter who you put in front of us. We just got to win. We got to take care of business. So that's something that they understand as a team, and that's having the right mindset, in my opinion. And this weekend, I would expect them to go 2-0. I think they'll take care of McKendree tonight. I think they'll win maybe like a 2-1. And then in Illinois Springfield, I think they'll take that like 2-0 or 3-0.
Yeah, I'm going 2-0 for them as well. I'm going 2-1 against McKendree tonight, and then I'm going 3-0 against UIS. I think they put themselves in position to be in hosting a GOEC game and then sealing up their spot in the NCAA tournament.
All right, so that'll do it for this week's Hawk Sports Radio podcast. We previewed the football game against Ohio Dominican. That's at 1 o'clock on Saturday. Be sure to go support your Hawks. And then also, men and women's soccer have two home games tonight. It's 5:30 and 7:30, or you know, and then Sunday at noon and 2:30 against McKendree and then Illinois Springfield. So go ahead and be sure to go out to Legend Stadium and QU Stadium to support your Hawks. So that's going to do it for us. We're going to be back next week, Andy Martinez and I, to recap everything that was this weekend in Hawk sports. So until then, we'll see you later, and go Hawks.